Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? Lord, we come to this point in our service where we open up your word and we study it. There is something about study that doesn't seem very worshipful. But if our study is our study of you, we become aware of who you are and what you want of us. And then if we are obedient to what you call us to be, there can be no greater worship than to present ourselves fully to you as living sacrifices. So, Lord, I pray that would be the result of our time, that we might not just fill our heads or fill out a sheet or have information to fill our heads, but that we might have lives that come into conformity with the people you want us to be. So we give you these moments ahead, that you would be honored, that you would be worshipped, and that we would worship you not only today, but as we live these truths out in our lives in the days ahead. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to be sure and note that when the barbecue out here is for all of you, whether you're visiting for the first time, whether somebody invited you here today, whether you brought food or whether you didn't, this is our annual family kickoff. And we'd like to do this time every year. And we hope you'll be able to stay and join us for the barbecue right after the service. This is a Sunday we talked about as church leaders that has multiple significance to us. It's always a Sunday that we like to encourage people to bring friends or invite family so that they can be part of what we're doing. But it's also really a family service. It is the service at the end of the summer, the beginning of fall, that kicks off our church year. And that's why you've heard about all the different things that are going to be happening in the next couple weeks, because it's our family kickoff and it's our family barbecue. And because it's a family service, we thought it would be appropriate, and we asked, and a little bit later on you'll hear more about this, if we could have a farewell to Dick and Lois Kirby. This is their last, they're not their last Sunday here. They're going to be in the area, but they've moved out of Sleepy Hollow, and we wanted to be sure and not let you guys get away without an opportunity to reflect upon how your lives have impacted ours. So there's a lot of things about this service that make it unique and this day that make it special. As I think about this being a family service, I'm very honored and pleased to be part of the First Baptist family. It is something that when I'm with other pastors of other churches, I'm increasingly aware that not every church is like our church. We're not perfect by any means. We have our challenges, but this is a congregation of people who love God and want their lives to count for Him. And to be a pastor of a church like that is what I think every pastor wants to be about. If you're serious about God, you want to be with people who want to be serious about Him. And so as I think about this family service and about our church, I get excited about our church for lots of reasons. I think about its past, about its present, and about its future, and all of those give me reason to be excited about the church. If this is your first Sunday, or if you haven't been here more than a few weeks, you probably wouldn't know it by looking around the church. And those of us who've been part of the church for a long time have heard this talked about numerous times. But part of our church history has been through struggle, through trial. In fact, part of our history just goes back a long time. We are a church that's been here since 1843. I thought about that, and I realized that's even longer than Dick and Lois have been around. When this church was started, our country wasn't even 70 years old. As I thought about it, I realized that so many things have happened in the history of our country that people in this church family have endured. The Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, the conflicts over in Afghanistan and Iraq. All those have shaped our country. And this church has been here during those times. As I said, our church has been through its shares of challenges. When this building was built, the cornerstone was laid right around 1875, 1876, I think. That was a time in our nation's history when there was a panic, a financial panic, and it ended in a depression. And so as people were trying to raise money to build this building, as you think about how significant this building must have been to build, financially, it was a struggle. And so though the cornerstone was laid in 1876, it was the early 1880s before the building was dedicated. It just was a challenge for people. And then about 50 years later, there was another panic. It's called the stock market crash, followed by a depression. And I realized that, you know, as many, probably many of you feel the pinch of these economic hard times, this church has been through some even more severe economic hard times in the past. And of course, you've been in the church long, know that about 20 years ago, this church endured the fire that totally gutted the church building. And it occurred to me that as we start this year, this will be the first full year that we have use of the fellowship hall in the back of the church. That was just reconstructed about this time, to finish this time last year. So there's a great deal about our history that gives me reason to think this is an interesting church and an exciting church to be a part of. But there are other churches that have had historic events take place, churches that have had great history and have very little future. But I'm excited about not only the past, but the present and the future. In our present, we have developed, as many of you know, our purpose statement. Gives our reason for being, why we are here. To share God's love and hope, to transform hearts and homes in Westchester and the world. I think about that. I was just talking to Frank Pastore about it yesterday. I think about that frequently as I think about our church. Because we're not just here to have services on Sunday morning. We have a vision that God wants to use this congregation to somehow be a catalyst to make a difference in Tarrytown and Westchester County and in the world. I really believe that. That's why I'm here. There are other places I could go that I don't know if I would enjoy the people more than I'd enjoy you, but there are opportunities that don't interest me because of the opportunity to make a difference here in this part of the world. And that's our present. But we've also set our course for the future. And in the bulletin this week, we developed our purpose statement. And it says that with God's help, I don't have mine in front of me, but it's in your bulletin, with God's help, that we seek to be a community of believers where God is at work, where lives are being changed, where broken hearts are healed, and where people are on fire for God and His Word. I don't know that I have it word perfect, but that's what we have as a sense of where we want to go as a church. That people will have a family, a community, where God is at work. And people will come out of challenging, difficult, heartbreaking situations and find healing. And people who have no hope will find the hope of God. And where people will get excited and on fire for God and for knowing His Word. And we see elements of that. This is always a work in process. But I say all that simply to say that as I look at our church from the past to the present to the future, there's great reason to be excited about what God is doing and has done and, Lord willing, will do in and through us. And as I thought about what we want to see God do on this Sunday that we celebrate as a family, it seemed appropriate to just look at that first segment of the vision statement, that we're a community of believers. With God's help, we seek to be a community of believers where God is at work. What does it take to be a community? You can be a church, I guess, by just putting articles of incorporation together, and you don't even necessarily need a church building. But it's more work to be a community than it is just to be an organized church. A community involves relationships. How can we be a church of people who are connected to each other in a vital way? Well, it seems to me that to become the family God wants us to be begins by being the friends that God has called us to be. So you could call this sermon the Friends and Family Plan, or the Friends Who Will Be Family Plan. It's not a Verizon promotion. It's the way God has wired us to be as a church. That as we build relationships with each other as the people of God, then out of those relationships, we build a strong family relationship. So this morning, what I'd like to do very quickly is, since we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, just kind of perusing it a little bit in the month of September, I chose a few Proverbs that have to do with friendship. And because we're kind of taking different Proverbs in the book, I put them together on this sheet that's in your bulletin, this golden sheet. And I did it for a couple reasons. One, I hope that beyond what I have to say here today, that maybe some of these Proverbs will stick out in your mind, that you can think about them, reflect upon them, perhaps memorize them. Maybe one or two of these areas of friendship are areas that God wants to challenge you personally in. So I put this together both to guide us as we talk about what friends are all about, but also hopefully to cause you to think about friendship in the days ahead. Now, if you wanted to be a sailor, you would have to conquer the seven seas. But if you want to be a friend, you only have to conquer the five seas. There are five different qualities of friendship that I've noted in here from the book of Proverbs. And if we endeavor to be people who demonstrate the qualities that God has for us so that we can be not only connected to each other, but better connected to God, I think these qualities should show themselves. The first one is the quality of constancy. That's really stretched so I could have my fifth C here, but it's faithfulness. To be a good friend involves being faithful. And these proverbs underneath here are proverbs that talk about that. And wherever you are, whether you're in school, whether you're living at home, whether you're in the work world, God wants each of us to be better friends. And these are qualities that I think you should be thinking about. What are qualities that I need to know to be a better friend? Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Let me just back up for a second and give you one other introductory comment before we come in on these individual Proverbs. As you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll discover that there are different kinds of friends. If you live long enough, you've already discovered that there are different kinds of friends. But Proverbs recognizes that. In fact, as you read through the book, you won't always notice this, because sometimes the word friend is translated differently. But there are three different Hebrew words that are used in the book of Proverbs to describe friends. One is the word rea, which you don't need to know the Hebrew, but it's a word that just speaks of a companion or a neighbor. It's probably the least specific term for friend. But it's important to realize that there are people in your life and in my life who are those kind of friends that are really just companions. And it's wise for us to know that there's a difference in friends. So it's important to think about the friends that you choose. Companions are the people that are around sometimes, but not always when you need them. They're people who are proximate to you where you work or where you live, but they're not necessarily close to your heart, or they don't have you on their heart. But that's one type of friend, a companion, a neighbor. Another kind of friend that the book of Proverbs speaks about is an ohev, which is one who is dearly loved. That's a deeper kind of friend. Sometimes it's the translated brother, somebody who is definitely far more committed than just the neighbor, just the companion who's next door. And then there's the most committed, the deepest word for friend, which is alep, which is somebody who is the closest friend. So as you read through Proverbs, you'll find that sometimes it'll speak of a brother, or it'll speak of a neighbor or a companion. It's the translator's attempt to try to demonstrate the difference in these words, but sometimes they're all just translated friend, because you can't always tell who your friends are at any given time. A lot of people will call you their friends, but friends demonstrate who they are by how they live, by the qualities they live out. So the first quality is constancy or faithfulness. And a friend who is truly a friend is a friend who's going to be there through thick and thin. A friend loves at all times, but an ohev is born for adversity. Somebody who you know you can count on when the going gets rough. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." It's easy to, especially when you're younger, to judge a person's popularity by the number of friends they have. But the book of Proverbs would probably judge your significance as a person not by how many friends you have, but by the depth of the friendships you have. Do you have friends you can count on when the going gets rough? You may not know that until you hit those tough times. But if you find that you go through a hard time and there are people who stand by you, those are the kind of relationships to value most of all. Proverbs 27:10, "Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. Do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." I don't know that I fully understand this proverb, but it does seem to me that those of us, and many in this congregation have experienced this, that we're not all that geographically close to our families. Some of you benefit from having family just in the next block or the next town, but some of us have families that live across the country or another part of the world. For us, we've come to realize that being part of this church is to be a part of people who will be there when our family can't. And when you need somebody to be there and the people closest to you are farthest away geographically, that's when you find out who your real friends are. Really, being a friend is being vulnerable. C.S. Lewis had a great quote. He says, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to be sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one. Wrap it carefully with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket of your own selfishness. There it will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Sometimes we need to be vulnerable to just see what people are like. We need to take some risks. You may never know how valuable your friendships are until you absolutely have no choice but to depend upon them. But a quality friend is a faithful friend, somebody you can count on. Second quality that I'm sure you're aware of is a quality friend is a person of candor. A quality friend will tell it like it is. Now, we don't always value that in our friends, but if your friend really cares about you, and you know they really care about you, then their candor can save you from all kinds of trouble. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, if you have an enemy who insists on kissing you, you know there's something desperately wrong. On the other hand, if you have a friend who wounds you, and it doesn't wound you just because they're not being thoughtful or because they lose sight of something for a moment, but they wound you because you're their friend, that's a true friend. Somebody who's willing to say the hard stuff because they really care about you. Our church needs friends who, out of their pain, out of their reluctance, out of their hesitancy, are willing to tell somebody else that there's something wrong in their lives. We don't need people who are willing to tell other people off. There are plenty of those kind of people. But when you find someone who's willing to say to you the tough things that no one else will say, that's when you have a true friend. The true friend is the one that when you're in that room full of people, she's willing to tell you that button is unbuttoned or your zipper's unzipped. That's not an easy thing to say, and the average person's just going to leave it alone and let you be embarrassed. But a good friend is willing to deal with the embarrassment because it's for your best good. Proverbs 28:23 says, he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. It's tempting to always say the thing that makes people happy. And don't get me wrong, there's a place for encouraging words in the church, a big place, a needed place. But there's also a place for honesty, for candor. And good friends are the people who are willing to tell you just like it is. Third quality, not only are friends constant and candid, they give good counsel. A quality friend will tell you what you want to hear and tell you what you don't want to hear. That's part of that candid part. But if you have a good friend, you have somebody you can go to for advice. Somebody who you can lean on when you're not really sure what to do. Someone you can just call up in the middle of the night and say, I need some help. Proverbs 27:9 says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. I love that. It's just a beautiful picture. A good friend is like perfume to your soul. You just know that what they have to say to you is something that you can learn from. But not everything a friend will say is going to be encouraging. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we need people who will disagree with us. People will say, you know, I respect your opinion. I know that you've thought about this, but I think you're wrong. And we'll share why. Good friends give good counsel. Sometimes it's stuff you want to hear, and sometimes it's stuff you don't. But you'll be willing to listen to somebody you know you can trust. That's the third. Constancy, candor, counsel. Quality friend is a fourth thing as well. He or she is considerate. Proverbs 25:17 says, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and he will hate you. The Proverbs, just, you don't even need to preach on them. Just read them, and they inform you and they challenge you. But a quality friend is tactful and sensitive. You want a friend who will be sensitive to what they have to say to you. They'll be sensitive to your needs. Let me give you something that I thought about that as a family of friends that we can do to be considerate. I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm sure somebody like Lois Kirby would know this, having served as church secretary in the past. But one of the things that I have known as a pastor, having worked with a number of church secretaries, is that when the secretary comes to church, it's easy for everybody in the church to think the secretary is still on duty. And so the secretary comes in and they ask, where's this? And what's happening with that? And do you have this list? And I know that one thing we can do to be tactful and considerate of Becky is on a Sunday morning when we show up at church, we let her be here to worship and not be here to be the church secretary. That's just something that came to my mind as I was thinking about this week as a family of friends. But good friends are the people who give you your space when they know that you need it. They're people who are aware that there are times when they need to intrude in your life because you need them and you're being reluctant to ask for help. And then there are those times when you need your space. And friends have a way of understanding the difference. They're sensitive. They're tactful. Proverbs 27:14 says, if a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. It does make a difference how you greet your friend and when you greet your friend. Just think about it from their perspective. It's so easy for us to come in with our agendas, but good friends have your agenda at heart. Proverbs 25:20 says, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. How tactless is that? To be around somebody who's hurting and be totally ignorant of that. In fact, to be pour on a whole opposite set of emotions. Just yesterday, if I can give an example without embarrassing him, I had breakfast with Frank Pastore. He's in town, and we set up, knowing he's going to be in town, to have breakfast together. I thought about it as we were sitting in my office. We went down to Bella's down here. We had breakfast, and when we finished, we came back and spent some time praying together. And I had a pretty full day. I don't think I told Frank that, but I had a bunch of things going on, and Frank said, well, it's time for me to go. And so I asked him, so what's on your plate today, Frank? And he said, well, I'm not all that busy today. I'm getting ready for a trip to Slovakia this afternoon. And as he said that, I thought, if Frank was treating me according to his schedule, He might have just sat in my office and said, let's just talk for a little while. You know, I've got nothing to do. Let's just enjoy the time. But he was sensitive to my schedule. I thought, what an example of this principle. Good friends deal with us with tact and sensitivity. They are people who are considerate of our needs. Finally, good friends are able to keep confidences. A quality friend can be trusted with your deepest secrets. It's interesting that the first and the last qualities, faithfulness, constancy, and confidentiality, are the two, according to research, the two most valued qualities in friendships. And if you've ever had a friend betray a confidence, you probably know even more so how important it is. I had a friend who used to be an accountability partner with me. What that meant was we would share the successes and the failures of our lives together. The areas where we struggled with sin and temptation and the areas where we were really being successful. And this friend moved away. In fact, not only did he move away, but he left the ministry I was involved in under less than satisfied circumstances. He wasn't happy with the church. And I don't know if he was fully happy with me. And I found myself thinking, he's got an awful lot of stuff that I've left in his lap. And by God's grace, 2 or 3 years after he left, we ended up getting together. And one thing he told me, he apologized for the way that he left the church. But he also affirmed our relationship and our friendship over the years. And I realized once he left that even though he may not have been happy with me, he was the kind of friend that I could count on. He was a person of integrity. It really didn't matter what he thought of me as a person or whether he was happy with me. I knew because of his integrity that my secrets were safe with him. If you have a friend like that, you have a valuable partner. Somebody you can trust with the failures of your life. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats a matter separates close friends." You want to destroy a friendship, just tell a few of the things that you've heard from your friend in confidence, and you'll not only hurt that friendship, you'll hurt your chances with other friends. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends." I think one of the dangers of ministry is you hear a lot of what's going on in people's lives. And not only can you make people mad at you, but you can make people mad at the church if you're not careful what you say. So if you want to be a leader in the church, at whatever level, you need to be a person who can keep confidences. These are just 5 qualities that Proverbs says should be things we're thinking about in the friends that we choose. People that we know that are constant, they're faithful. People who are candid with us and people who give good counsel. And people who are considerate and people who keep confidences. If we want to have good relationships, it's great to find friends like that. But even more important for us this morning is not to look at the people around you and say, "Boy, I wish there were more of those people in this room." The most important thing is for us to say, "What about me? What am I like as a friend?" As you look at that list, what are the ones that you're strongest at? What are the qualities that maybe you need to work on the most? You see, the reason I go through all this is that for us to be a community where God is at work, we need to start out to be a healthy church family by being healthy friends, godly friends, trustworthy friends, quality friends. So are you up for the task? One important thing before I quit, and that is, it's easy to preach about this as if what it takes to be a good friend is just a resolution in your mind. I am going to be a better friend in the new school year. And that's not a bad place to start. But the reality is, if you have failed in friendships before, humanly speaking, it's hard to be this kind of a friend. And one of the things that should separate us out as the people of God in our relationships with other people is that we have God at work in our lives. This isn't just about resolving to be better people. This is about allowing God to work in us to make us the people He wants us to be. Over in the book of Philippians, Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 3 that they are to let this mind be in them that was also in Christ Jesus. He was a person who put other people ahead of himself. That's the mentality it takes to be a good friend. To realize that with Christ at work in our lives, out of all He's done for us, with His power and His love at work, can change us to be the kind of people who put other people first and become the kind of people God has called us to be. So I'm excited about First Baptist Church, about our history, about our present, but I'm excited about our future and about the people He is shaping us to be as His family. A healthy family made up of people with dynamic and healthy and meaningful friendships. And if we really are that kind of a church, you don't need me to tell you how significant that will be in the lives of those who are our friends. Would you bow with me? Lord God, it's so much easier for me to preach about being a good friend than it is to be a good friend. It's easy to know what to do. Sometimes it's a challenge to do what we need to do. But Father, I do pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in each of us the mind of our Lord and Savior, the attitude that was willing to lay aside all of His prestige as the very Son of God in the heavens above and to come to live among us and to sacrifice Himself on our behalf. Lord, help us to learn how to live out that sacrifice in our relationships with others. I pray that people will see us and know us and relate to us and be absolutely convinced that we have been with Jesus, because our lives demonstrate it. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for reminding us of these things and calling us to this high calling. And it's in our Savior's name, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Before we have our barbecue, I wanted us to have an opportunity to just reflect briefly. I know if you're newer to the church, you probably don't know Dick and Lois Kirby as well as you should. You should, because of who they are and the impact of their lives. But I'm going to say a few things. I know Doug Morton wanted to come and say something. I've asked Dan Riz is going to speak for Joan and Dan, and I'm sure other people, those of you that know the Kirbys, will have opportunity after the during the lunch to speak to Dick and Lois. But I think and have reflected upon your lives, Dick and Lois, in this church, there are a lot of things I could say, but among the things that stand out to me are your example and your service for God. In your service for God, and at least in the time I've been at the church, I've seen you do so many different things in the church. We probably spent the most time together on building committee meetings, and that in and of itself is a tremendous thing. But with Dick serving on the elder board, your involvement on the elders was a tremendous blessing to me personally as well as to our church. And Lois, I've seen you working in Sunday school. I've seen you help out as a secretary, filling in. I know you did it more full time before my time. And I've seen you working with the women. You guys didn't just talk about service. You demonstrated it in what you did. And not only your service, but your example has always been important to me. You're not perfect people, and you never pretend to be perfect people. But I was always thankful that you were an elder, Dick, and Lois, that you were his wife, because I felt that with you in leadership, I could point people to what it means to be a godly person. And they got an idea by looking at your lives. You were full of grace. You didn't pretend to be what you weren't. But Lois, you are a devoted, faithful wife and a faithful person in church and in your service to us. And Dick, you were always, always organized. Kept things orderly. I didn't really know that we would survive as elders once you stepped off the elder board. That's a tribute to the grace of God that we were able to continue on without your organization. But I am grateful for your service and for your example. It has strengthened and blessed our church. And not having you here regularly will leave a gap that only God will be able to fill. But it's his body. I leave that to him. But I thank God for you. Doug, why don't I have you come, and I'll have Dan come up.
I'm so not used to being on the bus. This is not me. But when I think of the Kirbys, I think, you just can't think of Dick without thinking of Lois. You can't think of Lois without thinking of Dick. They're just two people that have been rock solid in this church since I've known them. They've been rock solid in their faith, rock solid in their service, and they've been an example of steadfastness through all the challenges that we've had in this local body of believers. And also in their own personal lives, they've been that so steadfast and such an example. If I were to look up the Kirbys in the dictionary, I'd see words like transparent, compassionate, understanding, always there to lend an ear, patient, perseverant, faithful, always committed to the task which they took on. Their marriage, in my point of view, has been one that's modeled teamwork. Not that they're always taking the same approach to life. If you know them at all, they take different approaches. But they always seem to complement each other's gifts. Whenever it came to tackling those challenges, they were so complementary in how they approached life. Always seemed that Lois was able to feel her way through the challenges, and Dick always able to think his way through the challenges. Put that together and you have an awesome team. The amazing thing about the relationship is that you always got the sense that they had the utmost respect for each other's approach to life. They knew how to draw from each other's strengths and grow and learn from each other instead of growing apart. That in and of itself was a great example to me. So I'm sad, not that they're leaving just for my own personal reasons, but I'm sad because there are a lot of young couples in this church that can learn from their example. And they won't have that opportunity to learn from their example and to get to know them and to learn from their life experiences. One of the best learning experience I think we had as a church family was when they and the Rizzies were up front doing a marriage forum. And it was so very insightful. And all the things that they were able to share with us, we learned a lot about relationships there. So, Dick and Lois, I just want to say thanks for sitting on all those committees. Thanks for teaching Sunday school, helping out in VBS. Thanks for singing with the worship team or in the choir. Dick, thanks for using your gifts to organize, to analyze, to categorize all that information so that wise and informed decisions could be made by the congregation. Too often we tend to get bogged down with details, but Dick has this talent for organizing details and presenting details and packaging them in a way that we can just say, hey, this is the facts, these are the facts, now what are we going to do with the facts that we have here? Having Dick on your committee was such a great relief because he was a workhorse when it came to doing all that sort of stuff. Thanks, Lois, for your listening ear and your heartfelt advice. You know how to take your life experience and pass on that wisdom that you have gained over the years and share it with other people. You freely admit when you make mistakes, but you're not going to let those mistakes go to waste. You're going to share that wisdom that you've learned. Your experience as a mother, your experience as a wife, dealing in your workplace and working with the kids at the school, just sort of primed you for that place that you've had in this church family of being able to give counsel to other individuals. And I want to thank Dick especially. I don't know how long ago it was. It must have been about 50 years ago. He snuck a kiss in the back to this young girl named Lois. And I'm wondering if that spot is still here. Is it really? Can you put an X on the mark before you leave? Maybe a little plaque above there. Say, this is the spot where Dick kissed Lois. And it was the beginning of a beautiful relationship that has benefited so many people. The synergy of that moment has grown through the years. And as a team, you've grown and blessed so many here in the church. So thanks for being there for me. You know what I'm talking about. Thanks for being there for the church family. And thanks for being an example to all of us. An example of love, joy, an example of peace, an example of patience, an example of kindness, an example of goodness and faithfulness, an example of gentleness and self-control. Dick and Lois, we love you. You're always going to be in our hearts.
What a very appropriate sermon today, because I have the honor and privilege of paying tribute to two dear, dear friends that meet all five qualities that Pastor spoke about. Some of my remarks are now going to be redundant because Tori steals them and Doug backs them up. My wife wanted to come up and speak also, but we did hear a bunch of grumbling stomachs, so we thought maybe I should do it and we can get out and start eating. I'm glad Doug brought notes because I don't have that ability like Daniel and Tori and some other pastors. I have to read, not only with notes, but total written sentences. So please bear with me. Over time, we have had many sermons, presentations, and suggestions in ways in which we may fulfill our obligation to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. But actually, we had no further to look than to my dear friends. I'm going to get through it, Doug. I saw you breaking a little bit. And brother and sister in Christ, Lois and Dick Curry. They have exemplified what it means to serve Jesus. Their numerous contributions in multiple ministries cannot be individually recognized at this time, but we nonetheless can recognize and appreciate how their service has positively affected the growth of our ministry here at First Baptist Church. Many of you may only know Lois and Dick that they have not joined the gray hairs up in front. But they sit a couple of rows near the back. And many times can be seen with members of their beautiful, beautiful family joining them. I've spoken to Dick about this, but to no avail. He continued to sit in the rear and allowed me to sit alone with the diminishing group of steadfast few, the gray hairs. Thank you, guys. Now, I can speak with some authority today because many of the ministries in which Lois and Dick have contributed, I had the privilege of sharing service with them. Dick and I served together until recently as elders from the inception of that form of government at First Baptist Church. We have served as greeters and ushers in leadership roles. Lois, Dick, and I served on the building committee from its inception for many, many long years. Throughout all our stewardship programs, Dick served as the follow-up director, keeping the books over the many years and was available to all for presenting the figures anytime they asked. Lois, Dick, and I served on a demanding pulpit committee that finally recommended Tory to be our pastor. This commitment remained an awesome responsibility for well over a year. If I'm not mistaken, Doug, I believe both of us filled the pulpit during that gap during the search. I really can't think of a ministry we have not served. Dick and I did not serve or participate in the women's ministry, but Lois did. She did with distinction. The women didn't come to me or Dick with their problems, questions, or troubles as they did to Lois, who always had a listening ear and was ready and able to lend a helping hand if necessary. Dick nor I may not always have a smile on our faces, but it would be the very rare occasion when you approach Lois that she did not have a smile or offer a comforting word or one of good cheer. Lois has taught Sunday school exceptionally well for many years and has contributed over the years to the Vacation Bible School and the senior ministries, never because of an obligation or a request, but rather because she offered herself with a sincere desire to serve. Lois and Dick are great grandparents, not great, great, great grandparents, and will do anything for their children and grandchildren. Nana and Papa are greatly loved, and the love is greatly returned. Our dear friends and brother and sister in Christ are leaving this locale, but they are not going to be that far that we all can't visit. Not all at once, but we can visit. And as they know, our doors will always be open for them. Both Joan and I feel privileged to have Lois and Dick as our friends, and we'll miss seeing them every Sunday, even though it is in the back of the church. Lois and Dick, we love you and we'll miss you. This congregation will miss you. May you have great happiness in your new home, and may God greatly bless you and keep you.
Dick and Lois, could I have you come up? I just wanted to have a word of prayer for you and thank God for you.
You can. You know something? You can't go without saying something.
All right. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I that's great. Let me...
cry my way through a little bit more. Thank you, Doug, for your words. And Dan, you know we're going to miss you too and not being here every Sunday, but we're not that far away, so don't expect to see us once in a while. You talked about our faithfulness, and it's only because God is so faithful to us in everything, in every area of our lives. With our children, with our grandchildren, and with all of you, because we consider you all of our family. God has been so good to us. And I have to tell you, the last two choruses that we sang are two of my favorite. I woke up in the middle of the night. We stayed with friends last night because, hate to admit it, but we went to my 50th high school reunion. We haven't been here since the inception of the church, but my family has been here since 1923, when my grandparents moved down to this country with my mom and her two sisters, because they settled in town because my great uncle was the pastor here at First Baptist, and that's how my family came to settle in this area. But Lord reign in me was running through my mind as I woke up in the middle of the night, because he does reign in me. And I just praise him for who he is to me and to our family. But the only reason that we can stand is because we're standing under his mighty hand. And he has lifted us out of so many situations in our lives that we can be here for other people. Troubles that we had with our son growing up and all the things that he got into. But praise the Lord, he turned his life around and he gave it back to the Lord. And that's why we can be faithful, because he is so faithful to us and because he loves us. And for each of you, we suffered a loss. I should let Richard share this with you, but we suffered a loss in our family last week. For those of you who know the Schroeder family, Richard's 48-year-old cousin died of a massive heart attack in his sleep. For those of you who don't know the Lord, trust him. Take him into your life. Let him be your Savior, because that's the only answer we have to sharing glory with him and to knowing that Cousin Don is with him now. He learned of Jesus here in this church as a child. So important for our kids to walk and to know the Lord, because we don't know when he's going to call us home. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for keeping us in your prayers. And thank you for loving us, because we love each one of you too. Thank you.
Doug had alluded to Lois and I having our first kiss here. And we sparked from that point on to become friends and finally husband and wife. And children that have come since then have been God's blessing to us, even during the tough times that Lois had mentioned. God is faithful, and I think if I want to leave anything with you guys, is just remember how faithful he is. We do have tough times as humans, and we do grieve, and we do have challenges, but God is faithful through all these situations to take you through. And you think of Friendship Sunday, and this being being a time when Pastor has talked about what a friend is and all the qualities of friends. Keep those things in mind because they're very important all through life. God has been good to us and He's always faithful to us. And we need to be faithful to Him in how we conduct ourselves and the friendships that we create and the example that we give to other people. I think of my cousin passing away and dealing with the human side of somebody who leaves you unexpectedly. But as we go and we do, as a human side of us have to slowly grieve through the process, it is so wonderful to know that he's with the Lord. So wonderful to know that God's grace will be around that family. And there's a cousin that was instrumental to me as a family because when we moved up in this area, the Schroeder family had been attending this church. And that's how we got connected when my dad and mom bought a house in Thornwood.
That's how we got connected.
And that's how we got connected. So God has a tremendous plan for each of us. And don't take it on yourself to be the driver of the bus. You need to let God help you and drive you. In Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean on not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways. Acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. And that's been my life's verse, and it has been true throughout my life. We love you guys. We're going to miss you. We really feel the Lord has moved us, you know, out of this area for a purpose. We're going to be closer to our daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren. Already they're asking, are you coming to our church? So we hope to be, you know, mentors to them and example to them where we're separated by distance. They didn't give us the opportunity to be as close as we wanted to be with our children. So this has been a good thing. And in today's economy, our house sold in 6 days. So the Lord had something to do with that. We found another house in 3 or 4 days after that. And everything has fallen into place. That gives us a real true understanding that we are trusting in the Lord and He is guiding our path. Thanks again, everybody. It's been a wonderful experience being part of this church. And the service is something I do challenge everybody with. You have talents. Each of you have some talents. Don't be afraid to use them. And it's been very gratifying to Lois and I to see a lot of people who have stepped up now and have taken on responsibility within the church and the women's areas. And I think that don't hesitate. Just where can I be used and what can I do to help serve the Lord and serve this church?
And Doug, one more thing. About 3 feet back from where you're standing now was where the first kiss was.
Mark that spot.
I haven't asked Carl this in 11 years, but when we first came to the church, Carl said, "I wish I had my hair slicked back like Dick." So you're a model in so many ways. Would you stand and let's pray and dismiss. Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. We are blessed because of we are your children and you have made us part of your family, and that is the greatest blessing of all. But being part of that family has given us opportunity to share our lives together with people like Dick and Lois, and we are grateful for their lives and their impact upon us. And Lord, we pray for them as they leave here. Lord, thank you for their mission to their family, that they are going to be closer to them. Pray that you would give them very special years together with their children and grandchildren. And Lord, we also thank you that they're close enough that we will have ongoing opportunities to stay in contact with them. Lord, thank you for this day and for the opportunity to be together, for the food we can enjoy, for the worship we can be part of. And we give you thanks for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good and all the time. Make your way outside. There should be food and everything set up for you.